Hi there, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. I'm continuing on today in this session about walking in Jesus, and what I'm looking at today is about progressing in Christ. We want to be able to understand another aspect of the journey that we walk when we walk with Christ. And we're going to learn today what you need to do and how to live as you grow in maturity in Christ. So in overview, this lesson looks at one of the pathways we follow as we walk in Jesus Christ. It's a progression of maturity that every Christian should and must follow to become like Christ. And Peter tells us how we are to grow and what we need to seek and to do as we become closer to the Lord. So the basis of this session comes out of this first scripture, which is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, and it says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." There is a process to growth and growing in Jesus Christ, which Peter lays out in this passage of Scripture. Our aim is growth. We start as babes in Christ, but as we walk with Christ, learning all that he sets before us, we seek the transformation that will bring us into the image of Jesus Christ. And so this process that Peter has laid out here is a process of walking with Christ and growing with Christ until we come into maturity. And there are a lot of other things in the path to maturity that are covered in other places, and we'll get to those in due course. But this is the important one for now. This is the basic path that Peter has laid out. In John chapter 12, verse 35, we see these words: "Jesus said to them, 'The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes.'" The process of growth is a walk. As Jesus showed here, we walk in the light. And like a walk, it's a slow and steady movement forward. We do not run as we burn out, and we cannot stop lest the darkness overtake us. Instead, we keep moving to grow and learn, and we follow the pattern laid down for us in the Scriptures, part of which Peter showed in that first verse quoted above in this section. So this walk, we have to continue to keep moving, because what we see in this verse here in John 12, 35, is that he says, "lest the darkness overtake you." So what that means is that the darkness is moving also. It's trying to catch us and capture us. So we need to keep moving. If we stop, we will be overtaken by the darkness. So it is incredibly important to keep moving, to keep walking with Christ, to keep growing with Christ until we actually reach the place of maturity that he has set for all of us to achieve. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old received divine approval." Faith is the starting point of the continuing walk we take as Christians. We cannot walk as followers of Jesus Christ without living a life based in faith. We must first believe in God and believe that he is willing and able to set us free from our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is the starting point of our walk. And holding fast our faith gives us the assurance that the life we hope for in Jesus Christ will come about, that we will receive the promises God has made to those who are faithful. The next scripture is over in James chapter 2, verses 14 to 22. "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you shallow man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by works. So in relation to the point that Peter made in the progression towards Christ, we could ask this question, what is virtue? Virtue is the good works we do to show that we are people of faith. In this passage from James, we see that faith is completed by good works. Our good works done through virtue show that we are people of faith. Works alone cannot save us, and likewise, faith without the good works that prove we are followers of the Lord is fruitless. Both are required, and they work hand in hand to help us show the love of God towards others and to live as true Christians, not people who just pay lip service only to the faith. In Colossians 3, verses 8 to 10, we find these words. But now put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices, and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. When we walked in the ways of this world, we walked in the passions and desires of the flesh. These are opposed to the ways of the Spirit and the life that we have been called to in Jesus Christ. But as we walk with him, we put away all of those things as we are being transformed into the nature of Jesus Christ. How does this take place? We are renewed daily in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his path that transforms us into the image of Jesus. This is why Peter calls us to supplement our faith and our virtue with knowledge, so that we can be transformed. And as you can see, this supplementing process is a continuing, walking, moving forward process. Supplement your faith. We all start with faith when we come to the Lord. Supplement your faith with virtue by doing good works. And then supplement those things with knowledge so that you know more about the Lord. And then the work of transformation can take place. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we find these words. Hence I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. One of the things many Christians do not understand is that God does not want us to have to rely upon his grace forever. He gives his grace willingly and in abundance, but it is his desire that we come to a place where we do not have to rely on his grace all of the time. We are called to be self-controlled, and if you look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 6, we see that one of those fruits is self-control. It's by walking in the Spirit that we have the victory over the passions and the lusts and failings and desires of the flesh that lead to sinfulness. When we walk in the Spirit as the Bible teaches us, then we are set free from all of these negative things to receive the power of self-control in our lives. This is why the Word links the Spirit and self-control in so many places. For it's by using the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to learn how to be self-controlled. In Romans 15, verses 4 to 6, we see this written. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of self-control, then, is to lead us to become steadfast. And as we see in this scripture, steadfastness is built on a foundation of the encouragement that comes from the scriptures. As we fill our hearts, minds, and soul with the scriptures through studying the Word of God, we're encouraged. As we learn, we grow and become steadfast because the scriptures give us insight into this life. We see the reasons why certain things happen in this world, and we learn how to combat them in the Spirit so that we remain unaffected. This stability is the steadfastness we receive in the Lord and we come into harmony with one another through Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 10, we find this written. Have nothing to do with godless and silly myths. Train yourself in godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those who believe. So moving on from steadfastness, as we continue to progress and walk and grow in Christ, we grow closer to him. By the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are transformed and being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. The end result of this transformation is godliness. We learn and are trained in the ways of the Lord and of God, and so we learn to think and act in a godly manner. This is godliness. As the scripture says here, godliness is of value in every way. It leads to life with Christ and also to increased stability in this world. That's why the scripture tells us that godliness holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. In this we have hope, because our hopes are not set on our own abilities, but the power of Jesus Christ and the living God. In Romans 12, verses 9 and 10, we see this written. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honour. Christians are a brotherhood, and like brothers, we share familial affections with one another. The affection of brothers and sisters in the Lord is one of the aspects of God's love. As we grow through steadfastness and godliness into the image of Jesus Christ, we come into fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we share the affection of family, specifically the family of God, and all the protection and strength that he offers. The final scripture I want to look at is one that I'm sure you all know well. It's John 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Finally, this progression from faith leads us to love. There is no greater love than that shown by God and Jesus Christ, who gave his life to teach us and show us the ways of God and to become the perfect sacrifice so that we can be set free from sin. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ, and he came so that the condemnation may be removed and be replaced with the grace and the love of God. So let us seek and find God's love and live in it as we journey this walk with Christ Jesus. So a couple of questions to think about. Where are you on this journey? And secondly, if you are lacking in any of these aspects, how will you seek to remedy those things? And as a call to action, seek to understand the pathways to the Lord. The path we walk is not called a walk for no reason. Walking indicates a continual, a constant, and a steady forward movement, and that is how we must walk with Christ. Seek to find the path using this framework that Peter provides. As a prayer point, spend a few moments in prayer now to ask the Lord for guidance through the Holy Spirit to find the path and to help you as you journey along it. So that's it for this session. The next session takes us in a slightly different relationship with Christ. As we continue progressing in Christ, we move from walking with Jesus to walking in Jesus, and we see the commencement of that process with the laying on of hands. So this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. I wish you a great week, and I pray that the Lord will bless you in all things. Have a blessed week, and I'll see you next time.